Let's look to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 for our continual study in this particular portion for the week. We come into your presence, Father, and thank you again for the opportunity to open your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you might stir us up in the things of God, that we might have a great desire to study this word. We would know it word by word, line upon line, precept upon precept, and we would be diligent to follow through in what we know. Father, as we add more knowledge of the word, we have more responsibility to carry it out, to live it in our lives as believers. We pray for those that are lost, that might be listening, that they might be encouraged to seek the truth, that they might be convicted, that we know that those without Christ have a dying, eternal future away from Christ. We just pray that you would lead and guide in all hearts today. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. As we've been looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3, the verse number 16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." The first of these four fours that the Word of God is profitable for doctrine has been what we've spent a little bit of time on. We've been looking at the word teach and teaching. We have looked at the Old Testament as we see the word teaching showing up there. Today, let's look at the New Testament and the word teaching, as the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, which is teaching. If you would turn in the Gospels with me, we could turn back to the book of Matthew, chapter 11, and we'll see the Lord Jesus in the Gospels, and we'll see what we find with him along the line of teaching. And we see in Matthew 11, verse 1, "And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities." So here we see in the cities, he's out teaching the word of God with the disciples. Now we see, we move to the book of Mark, chapter 4 and verse 1. Again, we see our Lord, "And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land." So we see by the sea our Lord is teaching. Turn to Mark chapter 6. Verse 2, "And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many, hearing him, were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" So here we see Christ in the synagogue. So we see in the days of our Lord Jesus, as he is walking this earth, during his public ministry, as he is going toward the cross, as we find in the book of John, many times it says, "They laid not their hands upon him, for his hour was not yet come." There was an appointed time for him to die upon that cross. And leading up to that, he had the ministry that he must fulfill. The ministry of giving out the word of God, going from Judea, Samaria, Galilee, to different places around Jerusalem, or Israel. And we see that he was preaching the word, teaching the word, whether it be by the sea or in the cities or in the synagogue. Then we also could turn back to Matthew while we're in the Gospels and look at chapter 28. And we see there In the first gospel mentioned here, that we have before us, Matthew 28 and 19, the familiar passage, let's start at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we see here at the end of the book of Matthew, the Great Commission, we call it. We see the threefold ministry there of the Great Commission, as it's been established here by the Lord himself, of evangelizing ones that they might come to know Christ, baptizing them, as we see the great identification as believer's baptism, we call it today, and yet then the discipling, that they might know all things and do all things that have been commanded. So we see that the Great Commission is a threefold ministry. It's a tremendous responsibility and privilege to preach the gospel. But we know from the Word of God that we leave it not at that. For someone who truly knows Christ should be willing to come into fellowship in a local assembly to identify himself, as in Romans 6, with believers' baptism, that they will admit that they have received Christ, they have died with Christ and have been risen with him, and this believers' baptism represents what change has come in their life, that they're ready to walk in newness of life. And then, of course, that we're teaching the Word of God as we are here in this radio broadcast. We're trying to systematically, line upon line, precept upon precept, teach the Word of God, discipling. That is our great burden on this particular station, to disciple. Yes, we want to see souls saved, but we are attempting primarily in this station to disciple believers. And as the Lord sees fit, if he saves souls through it, teaches souls, we'll leave that in his hands. Some water, and some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. So here we see the Great Commission tied in with teaching. We could also tie in that the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, and tied in with a little different for us, but we don't want to forget the work of the Spirit of God in the teaching of the Word of God and in that area. Let's look at the book of John, chapter 14, and we see verse 26. Let's look at verse 25. Here the Lord speaking of the Comforter that will come. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So here we see the very one, the Lord Jesus, speaking of the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, that now we see as in the church age, we that know Christ, we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Also look with me in Luke chapter 12, verse 11 and 12. And when they bring you unto the synagogue, and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer, or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Here we see the Lord will give us, as believers, the appropriate words to say when we're in a position where we need to speak up for him. And of course, when we bring all the scripture in together, I believe it's sound to say that we need to be in the Word of God so that when these times do come up, there's something hidden in our heart that the Lord will bring it back to us. He'll bring it back to remember it. So it's not that we just say, hey, I'm saved, I'm just going to wait, the Lord's going to give me something when I need it. Well, surely he will, but I believe it's largely going to be based on, have you hidden the Word of God in your heart. Back in the book of Psalms, it tells us, I've hidden my heart, thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We need to hide the word of God in our heart so we'll know how and be ready at the appropriate time to act and react based on the situation before us. So we see here also the Spirit of God. Let's move further. In 1 Corinthians, and we see in chapter 2, early in the study of that book, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the connection with keeping in mind that the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, or that is teaching. 1 Corinthians 2:14, in connection with the Spirit, here it says, but the natural man, that is the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they, that is the things of the Spirit, because they are spiritually discerned. The unsaved man cannot digest the Word of God. It's foolishness unto them. So we that know Christ, we that have the Spirit of God who dwells in us, have discernment, have our eyes open to where we can understand the things of God. It takes much study and prayer, but yet we do have the capacity in Christ by His Spirit to understand the Word of God. So we see here the necessity of being indwelt by the Spirit of God, that is, to have been born again, we do have spiritual discernment. Of course, the Word of God tells about how, if we were to turn, and maybe we ought to do that, to Hebrews chapter 5, let's look at verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. When for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Well, you say, why did you bring that up? We bring that up because in connection with the Spirit of God, in connection with the Word of God being profitable for doctrine, which is teaching. Again, another passage here at the end of Hebrews 5 telling us that when we are ones that should be mature Christians, that is not a time to say that we're going to just settle in on the milk of the Word. We need to be on the meat of the Word. For when we ought to be teachers, the Scripture says, you have need that one teach you again the very first principles of the oracles of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, as verse 2 says, as newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the Word. Just picked up the first part of verse 2 of 1 Peter 2. There we see the young believer as a babe in Christ. As we think of a baby in our home, it's going to desire that milk. But as in Hebrews 5, it encourages us that if we're mature Christians, we've been saved for a period of time, we should not be desiring that milk of the Word only. So what a great encouragement there, and truth, that we should be desiring that milk of the Word as young believers, but then as we grow, we should desire the meat of the Word. And of course that takes time and study and prayer to mature in that area. So let's look again at some more areas of 2 Timothy 3:16, as it tells us that the Word of God is profitable for doctrine. Well, it's been good to have been with you today. Lord willing, we'll pick up with the theme tomorrow. This is Mike Moody along with Mark Beebe and Jeff Buckles. If you have a question or comment, write us at the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.